Okay, we'll get into skates. Skate Committee Chair, David Gaethel. David?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Get everybody to settle down for just a second here. The Skate Committee met on January 18th to work on Framework 1 to consider reductions in the skate wing possession limit to extend the duration of the directed fishery in fishing year 2011. That was our principal charge for that meeting. Staffer Andy Applegate will give a short presentation, which will be followed by committee motions to deal with this issue. For people on the council, the skate documents are located behind tab 13. The principal document that you probably want to pull out is document number 2, which is the decision document. And with that, I'll turn it over to Andy.
Okay, thank you. While you're pulling out document 2, please also pull out document 3, which is I'm going to start on like I did at the committee meeting. I want to start with document 3, which is a timeline for our plan specifications process, because it puts what you may do with the framework into context, given recent developments. We had been in some discussion with the center about how to provide some peer review of the application of calibrations between the Bigelow and the Albatross for setting ABCs and skate specifications. In December, it was decided to use the PDT to aid the council's SSC to provide that peer review. We now have scheduled a couple of PDT meetings, the first being on February 1st, followed by a two-day meeting on February 22nd and 23rd, and the possibility of a fourth day on March 8th to work on this issue. And in fact, we have started work on this issue, and I feel and foresee a lot of good work being done in terms of looking at the calibrations and the effects by area, by depth, and by length, which may have some significant differences with the overall calibrations that have been so far been conducted. The SSC is set to meet in early April to approve the calibration methods to use in setting ABCs. And at that time, we'll have enough information together to use the 2009 and 2010 survey data for those specifications. In addition, then, there are some fishery data that are needed to look at the 2012 and 2013 specifications that the PDT will be working on, those analyses in April and May. With the SSC approval of ABC and ACL specifications, the actual numbers for 2012 and 2013 in June. That will be reported to the council in June, where the council may would continue with the specifications package or possibly initiate framework adjustment dependent upon the scope of measures that the council contemplates. PDT would prepare a specifications package, and the council would either vote on the specifications package or a final framework meeting in September, which, skipping a couple of important steps there, will allow implementation at the start of the 2012 fishing year. So, in the meantime, we've been given the charge of developing Framework 1, which was to look at adjustments to possession limits to extend the duration of the 2011 fishing year, relying on a lot of existing analysis that were pulled together from Amendment 3, the skate PDT advice that was given to the council in April regarding various possession limits, and the annual monitoring report that was presented to the council in June. The framework document was pulled together with four alternatives that existed and were analyzed, beginning on document 2, page 1, a status quo, 5,000 pounds, which would happen automatically on May 1 and extend through the season until it would hit the 80% trigger, which would cause a reduction to the incidental limit if it appeared that the TAL for the 2011 fishing year would be exceeded if no action was taken. I want to point out that there's a description, a more fuller description in the document. It's noted in the section, the second column, analysis provided in section 7, and the PDT developed advice relative to each option and its background. So then there was 4,100 pounds, which was calculated to allow the fishery to land 100% of the TAL, but did not account for the additional mortality caused by higher skate discards. And it would also have a higher opportunity to achieve the TAL than alternatives 3 and 4. Turning to page 2, the 3,200 pounds using the 2009 trip data was estimated to achieve the TAL, but also account for the additional skate discard mortality within that TAL. The PDT noted that it would produce it would allow for a longer season, but at the same time, a lower skate wing possession limit would make it more difficult to achieve a TAL, especially if the TAL is adjusted. It would cause higher skate discards and have a disproportionate impact on vessels that target skates, though on vessels that land skates incidentally. And would increase the number of vessels and the number of trips that it would affect compared to what the vessel did in a less regulated environment with a higher possession limit. The 2,600 pounds, where that came from, was estimated as an amount that would allow the vessels, the fishery, to take 80% of the TAL is where that came from, and would have similar effects as 3,200 pounds, but we extend the fishery longer than that. I'm going to go through the alternatives and then come back and some of the supplemental analysis that was done and walk you through that. The committee met last week and added a fifth alternative that came a lot from industry representatives that were at the meeting, in which the possession limit would start at 2,600 pounds from May 1 to August 31 and then automatically increase to 4,100 pounds beginning September 1st. This, like some of the other alternatives, will allow the directed fishery continue longer in 2000 than it had in 2010, possibly through January. I'll show where that comes from, but would be unlikely to last throughout the entire fishing year with the current TAL. It will allow higher landings in the fall and early winter when skate prices are relatively higher. We could not determine the seasonal effects on discarding because we analyze discards on a semi-annual basis, so we don't have that same seasonal component to information to make that kind of an assessment. I'll get to in a second, but there's the committee also recommended that we look at two trigger limits, changing the trigger from an 80% trigger to either a 75 or an 85% trigger. And that appears to make about a two-week difference in when that trigger would be hit, given the possession limit at 2,600 and 4,100 pounds. In all alternatives, the committee also asked the PDT to look at adjusting the incidental limit to 750 or 1,250 pounds. And the projections look like that the landings would not exceed the TAL, with the exception of 1,250 pounds with an 85% trigger. And these proposed limits could still be consistent with a higher TAL when new data become available to adjust the TAL. There are not currently in the document, but in your decision document, there are alternatives for raising the incidental skate limit from 500 pounds to either 750 or 1,250 pounds. And turning to page 4, there, in addition to the status quo of setting the trigger at 80%, two alternatives for adjusting the trigger to 85 or 75%. Finally, in the document and on your decision document, there's an set of alternatives, status quo, and a modification as a technical adjustment to the regulations, which would account for landings of skate carcasses to be marketed as bait on trips that process skates and land wings at process skates at sea and land wings without counting it against either the wing TAL or the bait TAL, because the carcasses had already been counted for in the conversion of wings. So that's described on page 4-31 of the main framework document. And then the committee also passed a motion that would is recommending that the council or the regional office postpone the application of accountability measure for exceeding the 2010 skate wing TAL. The current projections indicate that the 2010 landings are likely to exceed the 105% of TAL, which, according to Amendment 3, would trigger an action to reduce the 80% trigger. And since there were special conditions that happened in 2010, particularly delayed implementation of, I said Amendment 10, Amendment 3, that those conditions would not reoccur. So continuing walking through the decision document, as a little background, Table 3 includes the current specifications, and the thing that we're working with is the 9,209 metric tons for the wing fishery TAL. I'd like to skip Table 37 and come back to it in a minute. Table 38, in addition to the 2009 data, we looked at what happened in 2010 when we had three possession limits in place. You see at 20,000 pounds, the daily landings in 2010 increased to almost 160,000 pounds per day, compared with 95,000 pounds per day in 2009. 5,000 pound limit produced average daily landings of 77,000 pounds, and the 500 pounds that was in effect beginning September 3rd produced landings of about 28,000 pounds. If I can, Karen, can you skip to the last figure, figure 16? And if I can borrow the pointer. Very last page. Oops. Next to the last page, one up. Yep, thank you. Okay, this figure shows the landings that occurred in 2010. Okay, here we go. These landings occurred here and up through here when the possession limit was 20,000 pounds. So it started out at a more or less constant level of about a million pounds per week and then increased quite a bit up to 1.6 million pounds in mid-June. And then declined to when the 5,000-pound possession limit became effective at about 600,000 pounds, and then declined again in early September, increased a little bit through the season, about 200,000 pounds per week when the 500 pounds kicked in. Now, what I wanted to compare is, was this an effect of prices or was this an effect of derby fishing due to the pending possession limit change? And the prices for 2009 and 2010 are these two lines here. I have a black and white copy in front of me, so I can't see which is which. 2010 is in red. They were very similar year over year. But when the 5,000-pound limit, when the place, the price increased correspondingly in 2010 a little bit over 2009, and then increased quite substantially when the possession limit went to 500 pounds, settling about 80 cents per pound of wings. So going to the next plot. Thank you. We can compare and graph and model the 2010 landings as a power function. The 20,000-pound average landings here, 5,000 here and 500 here, and estimate what the expected landings would be per day at any possession limit along the way. But the major points to get out of this are the increase in landings at 20,000 pounds from 2009 here to 2010, and the relatively small amount of reduction that we actually got by reducing the possession limit to 5,000 pounds. Now, going back to table 37 on page 5, Karen. Up a little bit further. Okay, it's a little small on the screen here. It's the middle table on page 5. We can estimate if the possession limit were one of these four options through the entire year, what would be the predicted daily landings from that equation? Predicted daily landings. What would be the predicted landings for the year if the possession limit occurred throughout the year, and how much greater that is compared with the current TAL. So 2,600 pounds would be projected to produce landings through if it remained throughout the year of 7% more than the current TAL. 3,200 pounds would be 18% more. 4,100 pounds, 32% more. And 5,000 pounds, about 45% more. 20,000 pounds would be almost double of the landings from 5,000 pounds, or about almost double the current TAL. So since the committee meeting, and going to table X on the next page, Karen, right there. We put this together in a logical way. Each column is a trigger point at which the possession limit would change from 4,100 pounds to the incidental limit, and to one of three incidental limits, either 500, 750, and 1,250 pounds. And the next two columns are with the 80% trigger and 90% trigger. So, for example, if the trigger is at the current 80%, the projected trigger date would be December 30th, based upon what happened in 2010. And if the incidental limit dropped to, at that time, were 1,250 pounds, we would project, using these data, that the TAL would be taken by April 6th, and by the end of the fishing year, April 30th, the fishery would have landed about 5% more than the current TAL. Using another example, let's go to 75% trigger, same 2,600 pounds and 4,100 pounds, and 500 pounds, the trigger would be is estimated to happen December 16th. The fishery would not take the entire TAL, would take about 93% of it. So the bottom line on all these are that any of these options take would reach a trigger sometime around December or January, and none of them really exceed the current TAL very much. If the TAL were to be higher, for example, what would happen is these trigger dates would move later in the fishing year, hopefully through the entire fishing year, and we would never reduce it to the incidental limit. And we took this a little bit further. If we could move that up, Karen, the next table, table Y, put it at the top of the page. Table Y is below this, the one with the black heading. Okay. We use the 2009 possession limit model to estimate the effects of the incidental possession limit alternative, 750 and 1,200 pounds. It has a differential effect on day trips versus trips longer than 24 hours. As you increase the incidental limit, there are fewer vessels that fewer trips that are affected, of course, going from 27% of day trips at 500 pounds to 15% of day trips at 1,250 pounds, and from 56% to 40% at 1,250 pounds. The proportion of affected trips not targeting skates ranges from the 75% level down to about 65% level at the higher possession limit. The table shows the proportion of unaffected trips targeting skates, and this is, I think, the trade-off with the incidental limit. When do you get high enough that you start creating an incentive for vessels to begin targeting skates under an incidental limit? The model allows us to estimate a change in revenue due to the higher possession limit. The 750,000 pounds would increase the revenue to the fishery of about $260,000. The 1,250-pound limit would increase the revenue to the fishery of about $700,000, $725,000. The 750 pounds would reduced discards by about 8%, and 1,250 pounds would reduce discards by about 21%. So our two key things out of this is that the split trip limit would postpone the higher landings of skates to the fall and early winter season when prices are relatively higher. The incidental limit is a bit of a trade-off between reducing discards and increasing revenue to the fishery versus inviting targeting in skates and possibly changing the dynamics of what we saw in 2010 relative to what we can estimate with the data. So I'll take any questions, and thank you very much.
David?
Does anybody have any questions on the presentation? Okay, if not, can we get a first motion up on the board then? Okay, this is a committee motion. I'll read it into the record. That framework adjustment one include alternatives to increase the 500-pound daily incidental possession limit to 750 or 1,250 pounds wing weight. The analysis would include options to lower the possession limit to the incidental level when 75% and 85% of the skate wing TAL is harvested. So this is a committee motion, and this was to get us the analysis that you just had, and so it'll have to be modified by somebody on the council to actually pick the particular limits.
Dave, I assume you make this motion, and then you know this is the final framework to vote on, 500, 750, or 1250. So after this, there'll be a motion for which one you recommend the council vote on?
Right, because the committee, because we only met once, we couldn't get any analysis of these options, so we needed the analysis to see which ones got us to the proper numbers. So we'll need, I can make a motion, and then it would have to be seconded, or somebody else can make a motion. All right, I'll make a motion that the trip limit be 700, the incidental trip limit be 750 pounds after the directed fishery number is reached, and with a 85% trigger.
There's a second. Mary Beth, discussion on the motion? Jimmy?
I just have a question on the make of the motion. If 1250 drops discards from 8% to 21%, I don't understand why you didn't go with the 1250. It's just a question.
Actually, I made a motion just to kind of get the discussion started, and I'm certainly not opposed to it being amended. I was trying to pick a number that came as close to 100% as I could, for one thing, and I'm also cognizant of the fact that it's very hard to model human behavior, and I'm not exactly sure when, an incidental catch becomes a directed fishery, something that we always worry about all the time. So that's the reason I made it the way I did.
Anyone else on the motion? Anybody? Jimmy?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to amend that the incidental trip limit be 1,250 pounds based on the 21% drop in discards. The difference between 8% and 21%.
Is there a second? Mark Gibson. A motion to amend. Discussion? Questions? Paul Howard.
Andy, when you say TAL, is that the same as ACL? So if it's going to be over by 2 or 5%, does that trigger an AM?
The answer to your first question is yes. I'm talking about TAL. ACL is another limit under this. Answer your second question is, yes, there is a trigger at 105% over the TAL, which reduces the accountability measure is to reduce the trigger. There is an accountability measure in Amendment 3 for going over the TAL by 5% or more.
Further discussion on the motion to amend? Mark?
Just a question to Jim. What trigger value were you contemplating there?
85%. And I think we should insert after 21% discard reduction. Thank you.
Doug Grout.
But as I see this, based on the table that Andy presented, we would be potentially triggering an accountability measure, because we're looking at, as I see this, 107% of the TAL being landed. So is that something we should be putting in as our preferred option, something that we're projecting to implement an accountability measure?
David?
That's certainly a very real question. The possible answer, though, may be that the TAL goes up in 2012, and so we may not actually trigger it, but that's speculation. 2%, 105 versus 107, it's awful hard. I'm not sure our analysis is good enough to project that level of difference also. So I think it's a valid question, but I'm not sure we have the level of precision to be sure of what's going to happen at that level. Right now, at least as of the last information we had at the committee meeting, I think we're projected to go over the 105% this year, and the accountability measure will actually occur in the following year. So if, for example, we vote this motion through and it stays at an 85% trigger and we go over by, say, 5%, that 85 will be reduced to 80. I know it's complicated, but that's the practical implications of what's going on here.
Pat?
Well, but the discussion here is that for some reason we're targeting 105%, and that's certainly the problem, instead of 100% or less than 100%. That's certainly a problem with putting in any kind of buffer. All of a sudden it becomes the target instead of the buffer. So, if these predictions were accurate, then we'd be over by 7%, not by 2%. I understand that there are accountability measures that will take account of that in the future, but keep in mind we're targeting staying under or at the TAL, not going over it by 5%.
Anyone else on the council? The motion to amend? Mark Gibson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My reason for seconding is because I think that the catch rates projection could be overestimated, and the last figure is figure 17, and three data points are used to derive the parabolic curve, or the power curve, I should say, and the curvature is generated by the 20,000 pounds way out there, and estimations are done over a range of 2,500 to 5,000. That's where the projected catch rates come. And I think it's just as likely that you could have connected those two data points with a straight line from the 2010 data, and that would have given slightly lower catch rates for that that range of estimation. So I'm not concerned about the 5% differential. I frankly don't think the catch rates will be as high as projected by that curve regression. So that's my reason for seconding. I think we're safe with the 1250.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience on the motion to amend? Back to the council. Anything further on the motion to amend? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fourteen in favor, opposed. One abstentions, one abstention. Back on the main motion as amended. Anything further on the main motion as amended? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen opposed, abstentions. One abstention. Motion carries as amended, 15-0, one abstention. David?
Okay, if we could have the next motion, please. Okay, I move on behalf of the committee that the council adopt as final alternative a skate wing possession limit of 2,600 pounds, alternative four, from May 1st to August 31st, increasing to 4,100 pounds, alternative two, on September 1st.
Committee motion doesn't require a second. David, do you want to provide more rationale?
After extensive discussion amongst the committee and with the industry members present, this was felt to be the best alternative to both maximize the season and stabilize the processing sector.
Anyone else on the council? Mike Leary?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a projection when 80% or 85% of the tow will be caught at this motion?
It's in one of these charts. Which chart is it, Andy?
Yeah, it's table X on page 6. And the projected trigger dates are on the second line. So at the 85% TAL or trigger, using the 2010 data, applying it, assuming it applies to 2011, projected date would be mid-January rather than September 3rd that occurred this year.
Does that take into account the 20,000-pound trip limit changing in July this year? Will you be able to tease that out?
I'm not sure how to answer this. It does not assume that 20,000 pounds occurs in 2011. It assumes that the 2,600 pounds begins May 1.
Okay. Just so I'm clear, so if this passes and we forward it on, what the analysis shows is that we'll be at 4,100 pounds until roughly, we start at 26, then we go to 41. And then on January 13th or thereabouts, your analysis is saying that the 85% trigger will be hit. And we would end up at a 1,250-pound trip limit?
That's correct.
Okay. Anyone else on the council? Okay, I'll go to the audience. Anyone in the audience? Jeff Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries, and I'm speaking also on behalf of the Garden State Seafood Association and the monkfish gillnetters in Barnegat Light and Northern New Jersey, and we're in favor of this approach, and we appreciate the committee's creating some flexibility. We think this is going to maximize our revenues and stretch the fishery out to the benefit of what we're finding out there, which is an awful lot of skates that are very difficult to get away from. And the combined motions, the previous one and this one, I think really is the best that we can do with the limited landings that are available. So we're supporting this, and we appreciate the motion. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? John.
Good afternoon. Attorney John Whiteside of Mickelson Barnett. I'm representing Marta Trawler, Sea Trade International, Eastern Fisheries, Zeus Packing, and others. Industry here, the companies that I represent, support the recommendation as presented there. This recommendation, we believe, is the best opportunity for a year-round fishery that can allow boats to landscape a majority of the year, that processors in New Bedford and Gloucester can rehire the 300 people and more that they had to lay off last year. Other clients that I have, including tire recyclers, packaging companies, fuel gear, provision suppliers, many other industries, will all be able to benefit from a year-round skate fishery. And when I say year-round, bringing this into mid-January is much better than the alternative where things came to a crashing halt in early September this year. It will also allow the processors to reacquire the international air cargo space that has been idle for months now and to rebuild relationships that they have with their international buyers who are now buying from other people. In summary, the industry supports this and is united in its support of this, that this recommendation, we believe, is something that will create and maintain jobs that have been lost. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Nash, Gilnetter out of Chatham, Mass. I target skates. I came here today to support the status quo alternative. However, after seeing the incidental go to 1250, I think I can speak for many people and many skate fishermen at Chatham that we support this alternative. I think it's very important that we keep our markets overseas, especially when hopefully next year we'll have a new skate amendment plan and we'll start to get some real numbers and we'll be able to get the optimum yield out of the fishery that I think we should be getting, which is not what we're getting now. Like you said at the last council meeting, you know, there's a lot of skates out there. Hopefully we can address the problem this summer. But I do support this, and I hope you guys vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Louis?
Louis Marder Trolling. I just want to remind you to work on the TAL as fast as you can, because with this solution, we still not finished the year, all right? And it's very important if we want to keep that export market, we got to have a continuity. So I urge you to do everything you can and as fast as you can to do another framework for the TAL. Thank you.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition to the motion on the board? Okay, we'll come back to the council. Anyone else on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? 15. Opposed? Abstentions? 1 abstention. Motion carries 15-0. 1 abstention. David?
Okay, another motion. Okay, move on behalf of the committee to adopt as a final alternative section 4.2.2.
Andy, did you want to just cover that a little bit for the?
Yeah, that's the technical change to allow vessels that process skate wings at sea to land the carcasses for the bait market without counting against the wing TAL.
Committee motion does not require a second. Discussion or questions from the council? Dr. Pierce.
Well, I'll support the motion. I think the rationale that is in the document is very compelling, well thought out. It makes a very convincing case for our including 422 as worded in the framework.
Anyone else on the council? Go to the audience. Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. Last chance. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen opposed. Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries 15-0 with one abstention. David?
Okay, that's. We don't have another motion, do we?
The last thing was the how to handle the accountability measure for 2010. Toby and I have discussed that a little bit, and the 2010 accountability measure would be applied in 2012, so it may be something that and probably should be something that we take up as part of the specification process. But the committee made a motion that given the events that transpired in the 2010 fishing year that it would be wise to postpone the accountability measure because those events were unlikely to transpire in future years.
Okay, so this was a recommendation. I don't think it was. Did we make it as a motion? It wouldn't by consensus to recommend that the regional administrator not invoke the accountability measure for exceeding the 2010 skate wing total allowable landings.
Is that a motion, Dave?
It was a consensus statement, so I don't know whether you treat it as a motion.
Why don't you make it, and then I'll ask for a seconder.
Okay. That I recommend that the regional administrator not invoke the accountability measures for exceeding the 2010 skate wing TAL, and if I get a second, I'll explain why.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mark Alexander. Discussion?
Okay. The rationale for this is that with the 20,000-pound trip limit in possession at the beginning of 2010 and the length of time that was in effect, that 2010 is in essence kind of an anomaly as a year, and that the issue won't occur again with the new trip limits that you just voted, and that we'd probably be better off seeing what happens to the specification setting process here for 2012 before we worry about invoking it at the moment.
Questions or comments from the council? Pat?
There is no authority in the regulations for us to do that. I mean, the point of the accountability measures was that they be triggers. So, in fact, you can't do this. I don't think the motion makes much sense, frankly, because there's no way to do it.
Dave Gith?
Well, I guess speaking on behalf of the committee, and other committee members can speak up as well, if through the specification setting process it becomes kind of irrelevant, I guess the question is, do you want to deal with it then or deal with it now? Our understanding is that the TAL is probably going to go up, and that therefore this may be, taken out of a number that doesn't exist yet. It's very hard to deal with hypotheticals that are going to occur 2 years away, two years later.
Yeah, I thought it was a motion that the committee made, but it may have been consensus, came about because the question is, if we have this accountability measure and we're over in 2010, is it does it adjust the 80% TAL or trigger that currently exists, or now the 85% trigger? And then we got into, well, what's the rationale for doing this? And, well, 65% of TAL was landed before the 5,000 pounds went into place. So after some post-meeting discussion, it probably makes sense at this point that that we give it to the PDT to think about and provide some advice for inclusion in the specs package.
So you're suggesting we shouldn't take action on this motion, that you're going to look at the accounting in the specs package?
That's what I'm suggesting, yes.
What's the council's pleasure? David?
Well, if the seconder has no objection, I'll withdraw the motion. Since it's not a committee motion, we can withdraw it and have it handled in
seconder
the specs package.
Seconder agrees. Is there objection? Okay, we'll withdraw the motion. Thank you. Anything else, David?
My last motion would be a motion to submit Framework 1.
Before you do that, I have a question. I can't ignore this. The council did receive a letter. Actually, it was for Pat Kirkle. It wasn't really for the council. But it's in our binder, tab 13, number 6. And it's a memo from Nancy Thompson to Pat, updating skate stock status based on NEFSC bottom trawl survey data through autumn 2010. And I note that this one sentence, the third paragraph down, it says, based on new survey data collected through 2010, one skate species remained overfished, which is thorny, and overfishing was not occurring in any of the seven skate species. And then it goes on to break it down in more detail, species by species. And you didn't have the benefit of this document at the skate committee meeting, did you?
We had the benefit of the document, but we did have quite a bit of discussion about the fact that I think it's kind of a preliminary document in that it does not include the length calibrated information yet. And we didn't feel we could really act on the document since it will probably be revised. This is a preliminary read on the information.
Okay. This memo updates the status of seven species. So that's where my confusion is. If we still need to do length calibration, then how do we update? How can you actually update the status of the species? I guess I'd be turning to Jim or Andy or somebody else to help me understand what is this memo significant at all? Should we ignore it? What place does it have? Is it foreshadowing what we can expect in a year or half a year? Does it impact the decisions the council's made to do this calibration work through our PDT? There's a lot of questions I have about the significance of this memo.
Yeah, I think that the document is based on information that does have some official impact. This kind of status update is something that we have done as a matter of routine with many of our stocks, where Nancy Thompson or the director of the Science Center updates status based on a new index that comes in. And so for skates, this was done in 2009 previously, and it was time to do it again. For skates, there had been a peer review of the calibration coefficients between the albatross and the bigelow based on the entire catch, not broken out by length. So this information uses that peer-reviewed calibration factor. And in the memo, it points out that doing additional work on length-based calibrations is an area of research for the future. So that is ongoing. And
So this is what we could provide at the time that was entirely peer-reviewed and audited data.
To the point about length calibration being an area of research, I guess that's what kind of tripped me up as I read through the memo, because we've had discussions and debate and come upon a plan on how to do that length calibration, unless I'm misunderstanding the plan we've settled on. And our PDT is going to delve into this spring and early summer. But is this memo saying that it's not necessary to do that work in order to understand the health of the resource?
No, it's not intended to negate the importance of going ahead and doing that research.
Okay. Dr. Pierce?
It is research, and it's research that will be done, and we look forward to it. However, your point's very important, John, in that Nancy has done us a great favor, and her staff, of course, providing us with this update. And this update really throws me into a bit of some confusion, because we just were about to adopt a framework that is based on certain assumptions, certain information we had available to us a while ago. And we've been very careful, of course, in our deliberations regarding what trip limits to pick and whether or not we'll go over the TAL and all of that. But I look at this document and I see that for winter skate, we're rebuilt. For little skate, we're rebuilt. We're not overfishing. We're not overfished. And we're rebuilt. So this new information that's from Nancy that represents the status of these seven species of skates, and in particular the two that I just mentioned, and that very good news, that's not reflected, I don't believe, in the framework document. And it's not Andy's fault, obviously. I mean, this was received on January 13. So I would say, at a minimum, the framework would have to be revised so that the language in the framework reflects this updated information and highlights the fact that we have, according to this document, we are rebuilt. And, of course, because we're rebuilt, it makes, of course, the industry wonder, and it makes me wonder. The restrictions that we have adopted are likely too restrictive. They need not be that restrictive. Be that as it may, here we are about to adopt a framework that doesn't reflect this excellent news regarding the status of those key stocks. So we're all in a bit of a quandary. Great information, very, very, very welcomed, but I don't know what to do with it in the context of the framework, except to say that if indeed there was any risk involved, if there's any risk involved in our adopting the framework with the strategies that we have approved, that risk is just wiped away because of this new status of the stock information.
Andy.
So what work will the plan development team now have? What work will the SSC now have? Because at the very beginning of Andy's presentation, he noted that, you know, we've got these PDT meetings scheduled, two, to analyze and develop options for application of skate calibrations, the survey data for setting ABC specifications, but we have calibration information already that has been used by Nancy Thompson and is reflected in this document. So it seems like the plan development team need not meet and discuss this issue except to say, well, they've got it. So Andy can clarify things. Again, I'm confused as to what this means for us right now relative to this framework.
Andy?
Yeah, I can provide my perspective on it, and there are certainly others that can provide a different interpretation. We have held a calibration peer review meeting looking at a calibration method to possibly apply to all stocks. It wasn't a calibration of its application for use of setting skate specifications. In most cases, I'm not sure there are any, the application of these calibration coefficients has occurred in a saw stock assessment. None of them have, that I'm aware of, Jim, have occurred outside that context. And in some cases, there have been noted differences in catchability at length, which have been important to the stock assessment. And in some cases, that length-based calibration has been used. And we note that we see signs of that in this in the skate data for some of the species. So we want to take a careful look at that. So we're using the right method to set our skate ABC. In addition to that, we believe that there could be some differences by bottom type and possibly depth. And so the PDT is looking at that and developing a model with that to present to the SSC. The previous peer review doesn't preclude any additional work. In fact, I think one of the documents actually recommended that it be further looked at on a stock-by-stock basis in the stock assessments. So that's essentially what we're doing. And but also note that in the new data that it's not saying that skates are rebuilt. It says winter skates rebuilt. In fact, it's really not technically right to say winter skate was rebuilt because the last stock assessment says it was never overfished to begin with. But we also have two stocks that are in difficult conditions. Thorny skate continues to decrease, and smooth skate is just over the threshold. Most of the increases that you're seeing is not just due to an increase in 2010 or 2009. It's because the 2007 index that was low has dropped out of the three-year moving average. So what we want to do is have the PDT look at it, develop some options, and present the options and ramifications to SSC to approve how we're going to go about doing this for skates and what ABC makes sense. Thanks.
Mary Beth.
I'm just struggling here a little bit. I mean, at the committee meeting, there was some discussion that there would be information provided to the council in April, and I'm forgetting exactly what that was, Andy. Could you maybe clarify?
Yeah. Presuming that the SSC approves a method for developing ABC at the April meeting, we will have the survey data from 2009 and 2010 to re-estimate specifications in general, which might be applied to the 2011 fishing year. We will not yet have the information on discards rates and mortality to apply to setting TALs, but for 2011, we could perhaps assume it's the same rate that we used in Amendment 3. For the specifications for 2012 and 2013, we should update it with new information that will have become available by June. That's a question I asked Jim this morning.
So just to follow up on that for Dr. Pierce's benefit, based on that information, I think the committee made the decisions, okay, these are the numbers we have today for this framework. We need to move it forward, and that in April the council might be getting more information on the status of the stock and moving forward.
Yeah, I just think it's important for the council to have a public discussion about the presence of this document and to figure out what does it mean. I know what it says, but what does it mean? You know, things aren't always as clear as they appear. And so these kilogram per tow values, the three-year moving average kilogram per tow values, will be the ones that the PDT uses for the next spec package?
We'll use the calibrated kilogram per tow values that we present to the SSC in April.
And you still need...
That may be different than what's in this document.
Right, but you'll start with this and then you'll do the you'll calibrate them?
We'll start with the actual values in the surveys and calibrate them. Right. We won't start with this.
The new 3 years?
Yes.
Right. And the numbers in here are the ones that don't have the calibration applied?
The numbers here have a aggregate calibration over all sizes for six individual species and assumed one for the seventh species.
Okay. And then you also need discard data, which you'll get from NEFOP.
We'll get the discard data. The total discard estimates will be derived from a discard to KL from the observations and applied to landings by area, which we'll get from the area allocation tables when they become available.
Okay. Anything further before we have the motion from Dave to for the framework? Anything further? Dave?
I'd like to make a motion to submit framework one.
Is there a second? Seconded by Terry Stockwell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 16-0, one abstention. Anything else under skates? David?
It would be helpful, perhaps, if some correspondence could be written regarding what this memo means. An inquiry could be made with Nancy Thompson to ask her to clarify the information that is provided within this document so we will know how to use it. Something may be missing, accidentally not put in here to put. That's what I suggest. A letter to Dr. Thompson asking her to further clarify the intent of this update, and it's especially as it relates to whether or not the data are actually calibrated data, and of course what she. Well, that's as far as I'll take it.
Anything further under skate? All set, Dave?
Well, we are the skate/whiting committee, so I just mentioned that we did discuss the whiting ACLAM timeline briefly. We're going to receive stock assessment information here, I think. That's probably the next item. So I don't really have anything to report on that. I just wanted to thank Andy and Toby and the PDT for the vast amount of work that went into getting this analysis done between the committee meeting on January 18th and having it ready for you folks today so that we could submit this in a timely manner.
Okay, thank you, David, and thanks, Andy and Toby and everyone else. Dr. Jim?
Yeah, I had my hand up before you. I don't think you saw me, but regarding the clarification of the memo from Dr. Thompson, there's more to this than what's on the front page, and the things that Dr. Pierce just said are unclear, I think are explained on page 2 of the memo. So before you write the letter, you may want to read. You've read it? Okay. I was listening to your comments, and I think that it may be covered. Okay.
Okay, that's it for skate. Okay, Dr. Jim, it's your show. Saw, tab one.